It's the podcast they all listen to in local footy, the coaches, the players, the administrators. Jace, good afternoon to you.
Newsbreakers, we are, Tom. Listen to us.
Always got something going on.
Yes.
How are you? I'm good. How are you? Grand final week in the Bellarine.
I know, it is. It comes around quick, although aren't we just starting finals in the other one? It's just that's labouring a little bit in terms of the weeks. But anyway, yeah, no, they're going to be over and done with in 72 hours.
Jordan Kerris and Dom Gleeson to join us a little bit later. Ash Medal tonight. Got a winner?
Well, you're better at it than me in the Bellarine. Give me three or four that you think might, and I'll pick one.
I think Taya Miles will poll well despite Port only winning the three games.
Nah, he's not going to win it.
I reckon you'll find that Matt Bogue's going to be thereabouts after.
No, we like Bogey.
Yeah, we do like Bogey.
We like Bogey.
Beyond the boundary zone.
Yeah, absolutely.
Was he the first to actually
come in? Yes, he was from across the road. Yes.
I think Jordan Kerris is going to poll very well.
Yeah.
You'd be shocked if he didn't.
Yes, absolutely.
A Smokey? I don't know.
I think Bogey will win it, to be honest with you. I think he's had a pretty good year. Okay. And let's do that. Let's go with Matt.
Okay, Matt Bogue.
Yeah, we'd like to see that.
Yep. Matt Bogue would be...
We might be able to get him on the podcast next... Maybe.
Yeah.
Depending on where they win and depending on what Wednesday looks like next week.
Hopefully he's only across the road at Morris Finance.
Well, he could be.
Big night tonight. Bellarine Sports Night of Nights. So when you're listening to this, it will be probably underway.
Yes.
So good luck to all those involved tonight. We've had some best and fairest calculated.
Have we?
GFL finished, and so bang
straight away. Yep. Righto. Let me know. Let's go.
Billy Ford at Grovedale.
Yes, I saw that one. Yes. He had a good season. Very good, consistent season, Billy.
Nathan Arbon at North Shore.
And again, had a very good year when we saw them a couple of times.
If that's based on pure numbers, Nathan Arbon should poll well in the Matheson.
In the Matheson, absolutely.
Even though they only won, two games?
Yep.
Daniel Weagle at Lara's farewell is to win the best and fairest.
Well done. He's been very consistent out there.
Good luck to Brett Henderson, because that first phone call has got to be
to Dan.
Dan Weagle to see if he's going to stay.
Yes.
But we keep hearing him linked to, at least two clubs.
Yeah, I think he's...
Bailey Brogdon won the Stormers best and fairest, which just surprised me a little.
Yeah. Jacob Russell second?
I think Fletcher Keck was.
Oh, okay. Yeah, right.
Jacob might have... Did he miss a couple?
He might have missed a couple.
Yeah. Bailey Brogdon did have a good year.
He did have a consistent season.
So we do have a new coach at Lara. Congratulations to Brett Henderson, who comes with a very impressive CV.
He does.
Especially in development.
Yeah, which is what they need.
Which is...
Because they're going to have very... And I mean, they've got an under-18 team in the grand final. Like, that's what they need, development. So I think he's going to have some people to work with.
Yep. Wonder if Ricky O'Toole will join him in an assistant coaching role, coming with him from Port Melbourne.
Under-14 premiership coach at East Geelong.
And was his captain his son?
Yes, of course. Cruz
was up there.
So the O'Toole double. maybe. Well, he's been sort of lurking with intent with Brett, I think. So, yes, that would be handy for them.
I've got a couple of little things that have just come across my desk.
Right.
James Cheetah got delisted by Gold Coast today.
He did. I would think there's 1,000 calls being made.
But where's he, a one-pointer?
Where was he?
Grovedale.
Oh, he was too. Oh, hello.
Jacob Spaulding.
Spaldo, get him on the phone.
We'll be reaching out.
Yes.
I've already confirmed that he will be reaching out.
Of course you have.
Yep.
Yes, I saw that he got delisted.
The Geelong amateur coaching role will have a bit more clarity after their reserves play in this week's grand final.
Right.
Is the former Geelong Falcons coach, who currently coaches in the Hampton League, being sounded out for a job up here?
Well, he's not moving.
He's not moving?
No way.
So I'm talking to Dan O'Keefe.
Dan O'Keefe. I'd be very surprised if he leaves the job he's got.
A club has thrown the absolute kitchen sink at him.
They would have to throw an awful lot of brown paper bag at him, because I suspect that's not happening.
Staying at Warrnambool?
Yeah, look, his wife settled in a new job down there. They've got two young kids. They went there for the lifestyle. Don't worry. Yeah, it'd be great to have him back in the town, but I can't see that happening.
Big injury blow at Leopold. Mm. Bailey Vanderhoevel.
Really?
Has had surgery on his meniscus.
Oh, no.
Grand final best case.
Oh, that's no good.
Mm.
Gee whiz.
So he got to qualification just, and now he's unfortunately going to be watching on.
Well, that's no good.
Yep. And then they'd have a call to make whether they'd play him in a grand final, especially with their defensive setup.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's not like it's poor.
Absolutely. They've got a couple of cover.
Let's talk about Messrs. Purcell, Milsom and Hildebrandt pulling on a North Shore jumper last week.
In the Scooby-Doos.
Yeah.
Yeah, in the twos.
To bring them up to 18.
Yeah, I saw that. There's hope for everybody.
Yep.
Yeah. So, well done, them.
Well, a little bit of it too, the timing was a bit of a tribute to Frank Foppiani to run around in his honour, especially Tim Milsom, who played in all those premierships
with Frank.
From 93 onwards. I think Tim might have snuck into 90. I think he and Simon Riddoch got their eight from 90 to 2000.
Yep.
Talking about Frank, we both attended his funeral today. Mm. The old Requiem Mass at St Mary's. The Catholics do it well.
Yeah, we do. We do. No, it's good. No, it was good.
I'm not one of you.
We know you. We know you're not. It's okay.
I'm a heathen. Apparently.
You're a heathen, but you got born at St John of God, which is unbelievable. Yep. But anyway.
And blessed by the nuns. And back when they still roam the corridors. Random.
There's still time for you, Tom. Would you like to come to our side? we do it well. When I say we, like I go once a year. Like seriously, come on. It was a great service. And I was just amazed by the reach that he had across football, just in terms of club representation and respect, was just phenomenal.
Yeah, phenomenal. I sat with actually sat next to Shane Albin.
Yep.
And Mitch Troy, or Troy Mitchell.
Troy Mitchell, whichever way you want.
No, Mitch Troy.
Well, the great Gordon Hines was behind us.
John Albin there.
Yes, so there were some legends at St Mary's, so it was amazing.
Actually, Shane Albin turned to me and he said, pick a 22.
Yeah.
Out of who's attended this funeral.
Well, Fop would have been picked first, so there you go. Yeah. So, yeah.
Johnny Elvin, quick chat with him, and Kirsch was there. And
yes.
Jerome Beekmans was loitering up the back.
Yes.
Jason Habib. I actually sat around the Habib Elzinger
clan.
Yes. Yeah, so Nan Elzinger, I love to see Nan. She's always good value seeing Nan. So she was there. It was some absolute greats.
Yeah.
Of local footy, and it was a touching send off. It was it wasn't over the top.
No, it wasn't.
It was very frank,
wasn't it? I said that to a couple of people as I left. That it was very frank, very understated. Just that was so frank. So it was a good send off. As we said to ourselves as we left, it's a wake up call to all of us in terms of live life, because you just never know what's going to happen. And he was, he's my age. He's a bit older than you, but he's my age. And you start to think, so you've got to start living life. So we're going to the pub after this.
As we record, they are gathering at St Mary's Sporting Club. There was a private burial. Yep. Mark Stewart was there.
Yeah, Big Stew. Yes.
Up the back. Yeah. No, can't miss him.
No.
Hasn't got any shorter.
No. No, he'll always be 6'6". He's a big boy.
Saw Ron Hosking.
Yes, the Hosking clan. Nick was there as well, I saw. So Craig. Yeah, so they would have played with him at St Mary. So, there's a cast of thousands.
So Connor spoke. And
amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, amazing. Yeah, no, he did a really great job. And because you just don't know. You obviously know the person and you know him, and you obviously know a little bit of the family, but big family, big family, and lots of cousins and nephews and nieces and things there. So, it's going to take some time. And I think, as we said a couple of weeks ago, you'd hope to think that we pay homage to him in some shape or form across football in Geelong, because I think, he's a deserving person of, acknowledgement for what he's done for football and sport in the region.
And I wish that Sarah McLachlan's Angel hadn't become a funeral song, because it does me in every time.
It got you.
Yeah, the old lump in the throat.
Yeah, no, the prayer it was for me.
Andrea
Bocelli. Luckily for me, the photos didn't come up with that song, so that was okay, because that normally gets me. But, it's okay to cry.
Yep,
it's absolutely okay to cry. So it's okay to be emotional about things. And, it's sad. But also we've just got to remember the good times that, he gave us on a footy field, especially.
Yep. How good's the voice on the parish priest?
He's pretty good.
He could
get him in special comments, Father Jim. No, he's pretty good, isn't he? Yeah. No, he's good.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. They're going, this bloke is very
pretty
good.
Deep there, yeah.
Kirsch.
Yeah.
You're in trouble. Watch out. That's great.
Father Jim Clark in special comments. Yeah. Fantastic. Yeah, that's good.
Big grand final coming up. We'll touch on, obviously, the GDFNL and the GFNL a little bit later, prelim final and first week of finals. But it's time to talk a little Bellarine grand final. First team in Anglesey and their coach, Jordan Kerris, has been good enough to join us on the line. We're about 72 hours out from bounce as we speak to you on a Wednesday afternoon. It's been 11 days that you've been able to get your head around the fact you're in a grand final. What's the build-up been like down at Alamata Reserve?
Oh look, it's just been really exciting. It's been really busy. you know, a lot busier than even I thought. But yeah, I think the overwhelming feeling is just excitement, and yeah, it's just great for our community.
What's something that's come up that you didn't think about when you won your way into a grand final?
There's a bit of media that rolls in. There's a lot of people that, you know, sort of reach out and get in touch with you that, you know, from the community, whether it's, you know, people I've known along the way or people that I actually don't even know and that have been a part of the club. And, I suppose that's probably been the biggest thing that surprised me the most. But it just shows how much, you know, local footy means to a community club like Anglesey.
Who's the most surprising or random person you've heard from in the past 10 or 11 days?
Oh, most random. That's a good question. There's people that I don't actually know, so I won't name and shame them. But yeah, there's people that I don't know that have reached out, so they've been probably the most surprising. But yeah, past coaches at Anglesey have reached out, and it's been nice.
So have you heard from like a Bernie Purcell or a Wally Kanilowitz or somebody like that who's guided Anglesey to premiership success in the past?
I've spoken to a couple of guys, past premiership players that have gotten in touch. I haven't spoken to those two, but it's funny when you posted that thing on K-Rock about some of the past players that it was nice of you to put in, you know, my father-in-law and his brother. They seem to think they went really well back then, and you just reminded them and reminded me of how good they were. So that was good of you.
Happy to help.
Now, because has the young Danger been, has he been dagging around a bit? What, is he going to take some of the Anglesey Premiership glory if you get over the line on Saturday night? What's he been doing?
Yeah, I don't want to see one article of him roll in, because I haven't seen him. So I only see him when he comes and picks up his kids when I'm babysitting him every week. So.
Well, he's got a bit of spare time on Saturday. Hopefully he's there. He'll have his Anglesey jumper on, won't he?
Yeah, I think he'll be there, and we'll let him take his glory if he wants it, as long as we win.
As long as you win. Now, I was going to ask you, a couple of weeks ago, you took on Torquay. They were obviously, you know, only one loss for the season. What did you do anything different? What was the thing that made it just get you over? I mean, it was always going to be a tight contest, but what was the thing that held you in good stead to get over the line in the second semi?
I thought our game plan was well executed, to be honest, without giving much away. We had a pretty specific game plan from all our lines, and we thought we took away some of their strengths on the day. And I think, you know, we took a little bit of time to get going. Obviously, they jumped us early, and then some of our players, I think a lot of players had much bigger second half on that day. So, I think things change as you go, and they structured up a lot different against Drysdale than they did against us. So we'll plan for both scenarios and be ready to go on the day.
So having said that, you obviously you had a game plan for the second semi. What does that look like for you, knowing that Dom and the Torquay boys have obviously had a look at how you played, you know, against them on that day now in reflection? What do you do from a coaching perspective?
Yeah, look, it's interesting. That's one probably thing that I really enjoy most about coaching is coming up with a plan and coming up with all scenarios or coming up with all scenarios as best as possible. I won't be giving too much away, obviously, but they did things differently to Drysdale. Obviously, the Drysdale are a different side to us. And it'll be interesting to see how they match up for their side on Thursday night and Saturday when we have a look at who they've got out there. But look, things won't change drastically in regards to how we want to play against them. But obviously, on a grand final day, you just need all players on the train and committing to what we set out tomorrow night on our game plan.
what your personnel going to look like. Geordie, obviously, Jack Rice with that injury in the qualifying final. You've had Harry Veal over fighting fires in Canada. Courtney Wedderburn hasn't been able to get back. Have you made early calls, or are you leaving it as late as possible? How are you approaching selection this week?
Yep, so all those guys mentioned trained last night, and all have put their hand up to be ready to go this weekend. There's been some early chats last night, which is always difficult. Definitely one of the most difficult things I've had to do. Definitely some of the most difficult things from a footy perspective. I reached out to some coaches that I really respect and got some advice on these hard calls, and their advice was to get in early and have no distractions come tomorrow night and leading into Saturday, and took that advice, and we made some calls last night, and there may be some changes, there may not.
Okay. Heath Jamieson, one of those that you reached out to?
Yeah, Jamo, absolutely, yep. I get along, obviously, really well with Jamo. Uta Hocking's obviously one that I've said in the past, and will always, give him a shout-out, every 1 to 2 weeks. I reckon I like to think we sort of lean off each other a little bit and enjoy each other's chats, but he was another person that, I always like to hear his thoughts and have for a long time. So, yeah.
All right, come on, give our listeners something exclusive here. Will there be at least one change, Geordie?
There may be one change.
That's as much as you're getting.
Hey, if I don't ask, I don't get.
That's right, absolutely.
What does Anglesey have to do better than Torquay on Saturday to hoist your first Premiership Cup since 1999?
We've got to kick more points than them.
Spoken like a true AFL coach there, Geordie. Well done. Geordie. Good work.
What have you just been going to the... You're so open and giving, and it sounds like the last 2 weeks you've just been going to the, the school of cliches for coaches.
I don't know whether that's just my competitive side or not, but I will not be pinched anybody getting into this week.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough. That's fair enough. Who should we watch out for on Saturday? Obviously, Dil Pettengill is going to find himself probably with a bit of attention from the Torquay defence, and you're no doubt planning for that, and others will have to step up. But is there a player that's story that you've really enjoyed this year that might have flown under the radar a bit, not got the media coverage, but mentioned in articles or anything like that, but has been key to you getting there on Saturday?
Oh, boy, I was probably just going to... Some guys that the guys under the radar might be the guys that the coaches are waiting to see whether they get a game or not. So you nearly got me there. You nearly got me. But look, there's I've probably won is Nick Swain. I'm happy to name Nick Swain. He's no surprises. He'll be there on the weekend. He's been an interesting one. He's probably only played 10 games. He's been a little bit injury riddled, but he's someone that does fly under the radar. He's an exceptional person and player for our club, and a real leader, and I think, to be honest, and this is no lie, I could name so many players for our list. I'm proud of so many of them this year. They've all stepped up, so hopefully they can all get it done together.
And what's the plan between Thursday and Saturday, Geordie? Anything different? What's happening for Grand Final day with the players?
Yeah, look, we've done some nice things for our club tomorrow night, which we'll train pretty light tomorrow night, and we'll roll into some vision of Torquay, and then we'll have some funny videos and also some really nice videos from the community that our club's put together, and I think it's nice to build up a grand final. When we did it at Joey's, I've seen other clubs do it. I think it's really nice. So tomorrow night will be a really nice night, hopefully, and hopefully gee the boys up ready to go.
How's Tom Couch's knee? I've seen some images of him icing it up last Friday at Leopold. Is that just a precautionary thing, Geordie?
Yeah, he said something about having leather poisoning on the weekend and his knee was sore from it or something like that. From all reports, Couchy rings me every Thursday every Wednesday, Thursday, gives me an update on how fit and strong he is, and he's had his couple of hours of myo treatment throughout the week, so he's told me he's ready to go.
Geordie, congratulations on what you've achieved so far, but I know that's really not much at this point because you desperately want to lift that Premiership Cup come to a 5 o'clock Saturday afternoon at Leopold Memorial Park. We appreciate you taking the time to join us on the Beyond the Boundary. Appreciate your support throughout the year and go well on Saturday.
Thanks, lads. Appreciate it.
Well, we thought we'd let Geordie go first because they were first in, but I don't think this man cares because he's in another grand final. It's an incredible record. He took over as coach in 2015 and he's got his team into another decider. It's just unbelievable how strong Torquay have been under Dom Gleeson. But that, as I said to just before to Geordie, doesn't mean a lot right now because at 5 o'clock come Saturday afternoon, they want that Dow Premiership Cup in their hot little hands. And Dom Gleeson has been good enough to join us. Dom, really appreciate your time once again on Beyond the Boundary. How do we find you building up to another grand final as coach of the Tigers?
Yeah, first of all, thanks for having me, Jason King. It's, I'd lie to you if I wasn't nervous, but I think nerves are good. They're a privilege. That's what I keep telling myself anyway. So, no, we've had good preparation. Not much we can do now in regards to fitness and conditioning and game plan. We've just got to make sure we put our best foot forward now, so it's exciting.
Talking to some Anglesey insiders, you know, it's the town's been painted royal blue and white. As Torquay embraced in a similar manner, obviously a bigger place, but we're seeing plenty of black and gold around the place.
Yeah, it's starting to. Yeah, McCartney Real Estate have printed off a hell of a lot of posters, and it seems to be a bit more of a buzz around training. And yeah, it is a bigger place than Anglesey, but you'll certainly see a lot of yellow and black come Saturday, that's for certain.
And a big weekend for the club because not only your boys are in, but the reserve grade again, and it just seems to be death taxes and Torquay's reserve grade being thereabouts on grand final day. And your under-18s are going to play finals as well in the Division 1 comp, so huge weekend for your club.
It is. It's a big catchment. The expectations are that we're making finals and we're exposing our kids to the finals. And when you mention the reserves and seniors, we are one program. Like we train together, we train against each other from November onwards. So, I'm really proud of not both my sides, but certainly my boys that how committed they are through the whole season. The rainy nights, the extra sessions that we call, and it's paid off to get to this point, that's for certain.
Better to lose the second semi than the grand final, Dom. Did they awaken the beast, Anglesey, a couple of weeks ago? What happened then?
Yeah, I heard you ask the same question of Benny Mack. I don't know. I think, what's the best way in? We've done it a couple of ways over my time at Torquay, and you could argue the continuity of playing is the way to do it. That's certainly the message from everyone who spoke to me when we dropped the game to Anglesey. I certainly think it put us on our toes. By no means have we taken Anglesey lightly throughout the course of the year. I know it's a 2-1 in our favour for this year, but there's been nothing in it. Anglesey is, I keep saying, it's a credit to the team down there led by Geordie and their recruiting, their development. They're a great side, and people said, are quick to say, what happened? And they're shocked almost, but they're the people who aren't in amongst it every week and watching the scores and seeing where each of the teams are at. So, I think we've got the right teams in the grand final, if I could be honest. And, as I said, there's not much more we can do now. We just need Saturday to come really fast for us.
We just spoke to Geordie as well, and obviously you've had a bit of time now to watch that game that you played against them, and obviously the form last week against Drysdale. In terms of game plan and what you're planning on doing on Saturday, have you got a trick up your sleeve? I always say coaches win finals. It's not players. It's if you've got a trick or you've got something else that you haven't shown or you can do something a bit different. Is there something there that you might not have played that card this season so far?
It's something that we're cautious of throughout the course of the year, that's for certain. Not showing all of our cards. We've made some changes since the first final. We've made some maybe positional changes, and we've still got some decisions to make in regards to if we bring a couple more in, like Ed McCoy, who's back rucking, who is fortunate that he'll play reserves all seniors. Tamasi's just got to get through a fitness test. So we've still got some thinking to do. We do have levers in regards to our team. We've got players who can play multiple positions and shut down or be offensive. I don't think we personally played well against Anglesey, whether they made us play that way or we weren't within our shells. But I certainly think it was a good thing to be beaten only just going to this grand final. And, you know, I'm a big promoter of our league. I think it's getting stronger and stronger. And to see Anglesey there, it's no surprise. I mean, they've been building for this under Geordie since he started, prelims and finals. So it's no surprise to me at all that they're where they are. And the recruiting and the development speaks for itself. So, I think, as I said before, I think we've got the two best sides. No discredit to the other teams who missed out, but Anglesey have proved to be, a good side throughout the course of the year against us. So, looking forward to it.
How'd you find Leopold as a finals venue, Dom?
How honest can I be, Kingy?
As honest as you like.
Leopold and the people and the volunteers were absolutely sensational. Almost rolled out the red carpet for us. We had the home rooms. We looked after, often checking in on us how we're doing. So that side of things was great. But I just feel like the cars around the oval and locking them out and with the conditions it was last week. Yeah, look, the ground is fine. Like most grounds, they're all a bit dead now with the summer turf, so I can't be too hard on it. Netball's close. It just seems a bit funny playing on a GFL ground in a Bellarine grand final, but we'll play wherever, I suppose.
Does playing on it last week give you just, I know Anglesey have trained on it, you've trained on it, but you've played on it, does it just give you a better feel playing on it about, how to switch the lines and stuff like that?
Yeah, it certainly can't help. I don't think last week's conditions helped with the howling northwesterly that was coming through, turned into a bit of a dust bowl and a bit of a defensive game, to be brutally honest. And, I saw a lot of the Anglesey boys there. I'm not sure how much they would have got out of it either, of how we played and how we attacked. It just was one of those days that was whose game plan held up the best in the stormy conditions. But, I can't help certainly playing on that oval and getting some training under it. We trained on it a couple of weeks ago. Certainly a bit longer and can maybe get lost out in the pockets and things, but it certainly can't help playing on it, that's for certain.
We talked to Geordie about selection and you touched on it earlier. Geordie's told us that he didn't tell us who, but he said that their tough calls have been made. They've told players who have missed out. How late do you leave it? Is it just a Thursday night thing for you, or have some players already been given an indication that, one, they're either playing, or two, that they're not going to be running out at 2 o'clock on Saturday?
Yeah, we'll leave it pretty late. We've got to give our guys the last opportunity now. We're not going to risk it anyway, but I certainly feel like Will Tamasi needs a bit of a run. He hurt his knee against Bowen Heads and was playing some really good footy, and he'd be a weapon for us if we can get him in. And I think he'll stretch them too, and then McCoy probably gets another look. But, no one's really been told at this stage, and nor do we throughout the course of the year, just because it's a grand final. And we're in the fortunate position too, where they'll play regardless, so in the reserves or seniors. So I don't know, that's not ideal for senior players who want to play seniors, but we won't change anything because it's grand final week.
Before I ask the next question, Dom, there's something to be said. I wouldn't mind being the bloke who's, and this was never going to happen in my footy career, how bad it was, but I wouldn't mind being the bloke that was just on the fringe of the ones who plays in the twos and the ones went on the same day, and you still get the celebration. Yeah, okay, you're not a senior premiership player, but you start drinking at 2 o'clock.
No, you don't want to do that.
You're 3 hours in front of the other blokes.
Yeah, well, you can finish 3 hours later if you're in the senior, so it doesn't matter. You want to be in the ones.
I've been on both ends, been dropped for grand finals and missed out, and it's a horrible feeling, and it's something that I certainly don't look forward to delivering the message. I remember as a player running around prelim week and grand final week hiding from the coach just so he didn't lock eyes, just because I thought I'd be close. And then sure enough, early in the career, getting a tap on the shoulder saying, you're going to miss out, which, I think holds me in good stead for these conversations that happen. You know, it's the empathy you've got to be shown because of everything and the sacrifice these players make for you and what you're trying to implement. So, you know, I admire them the way they go about it. Obviously, it ruffles some feathers this time of year, but, you know, it's a credit to our medical staff keeping us all reasonably healthy and giving us a full list to pick from.
Does Tamasi get until Saturday, see how he recovers after training? Or
no,
do
it won't be that late. I reckon it'll be Friday evening. He'll get to, you know, Friday late afternoon. It's probably 60-40 at the moment that he won't play. I'd like to give him the opportunity because he has that ability to crash and bash some packs and bring the ball to ground for us. And he's a beautiful kick for goal too. So probably late Friday, King.
We asked Geordie the same thing, Dom. There's always somebody or somebody running around who you're not looking at from a star perspective of being able to have an impact. And is there somebody in the team who has had a really good season who has flown under the radar a little bit that you're expecting will, you know, relish the idea of a grand final?
It's really hard to separate our individual players. I really find it hard calling, you know, individuals out. One, I don't want to put pressure on them. Two, you know, to single a player out, it's really hard. They're all my favourites. certainly feel like the calling up a Reece Page was a really good one for us, in that he gets to play with his brother. He'll play, you know, full forward, centre-half forward, potentially, you know, maybe the ruck, centre-half back. I think it's a really cool story and I'd love to see him go well. He's been a real slow burn for us. You know, the Falcons program, probably a little bit lost coming out of, you know, the APS and Falcons. And when I say lost, with in regards to his footy. So, you know, we put our arms around him and he's developed in the twos. And I think the timing is about right for him. So, you know, we're expecting big things from here in the future. So I'm looking forward to see how he handles finals footy. The stalwarts in McNamara and Dark, our two captains. You know, Darkie's only gotten better over the last couple of games he's been back. And, you know, we've got some levers, as I said earlier, and they're probably the ones that will handle the pressure if they hear this.
Well, just the Page boys, that's a great story, and it's great. It would be great to be able to play with your brother.
The Page boys.
You like that?
Yeah.
Page boys. But also, yeah, just having Dark back for the last couple of games, it must just a little bit of insurance there from an experience perspective for the team too.
It did, Jace. Even last week, it was so noticeable. Yeah. You know, him just being, you know, you look at his disposal, even the conditions, it's right up around 80% efficiency. So, you know, at our level, that's pretty elite. You know, he's got the ability to weave in there pressure and just hit the easy target and settle us. And he's certainly a thinker. He'll be a coach in the near future. He's great to have out there. And he really deserves it after what he had to miss out on last year with his knee reconstruction, and he's worked so hard to get back and then broke his hand. And, you know, over his hand recovery, he could still run. And on Sundays, I'd just put my hand up and run with him. And he's fit. He's a real beast. And, you know, I'm really happy that he's been able to get up for this one and hopefully get that prize that he's this. All he missed out on last year.
Can you play McCoy and Thompson together, Dom?
Yeah, I think we can. You know, there's certainly discussions last night around it. It's just whether or not McCoy's got enough football under his belt. It's been 17 weeks. He's done the work. It's just game time that we worry about. As you both know, you can't really afford to carry anyone. You know, I've said to him, you know, frankly, he is our number one ruckman. There's no question. He just got injured and that lasted too long. And Jack Thompson's come in and played a really special role for us. If you look at the hit-outs and everything like that, you'd say, you know, Jack's probably struggling. If anything, I think he's competing and really developing into his own. And you know, Jack's got the ability too. He's a little bit undersized where we could throw him centre-half back and full-back, and that's what we'll look to do in future with him. I think they can. And it's just whether or not we want to throw, you know, because of the strength of Anglesey Ruck, McCoy would suit that matchup pretty well. But, then again, I think Ed could smash away too.
Paul Birchall, 17 at St Albans, 19 losing team, 22 in the reserves, 23 playing in the Colac League. If you win a flag and he's there, he shapes as one of the great stories.
Yeah, he's great, Birch. He's one of those no-fuss players. He stands tall and you think. He uses the ball really well. I think going back to to Lorne and playing some senior footy there and taking some real ownership, I think it did his footy world of good. We've seen a better player come back. That probably talks to the coaching that he had or just the relaxed nature of it potentially, and he's come back enjoying his footy. So, you know, we're pretty confident in Birch if and when named, that he'll be able to play a role, that's for certain. But it will be a great story, for sure.
Dom, it's an incredible record. Obviously, you get signed on for an 11th year in charge at Torquay next year, which is a league record. You'll break the league games record next year. But what you really want is to square that ledger on grand final day. You're 2-3 at the moment. You'd love to make it 3-3 on Saturday. You've been a great supporter of Beyond the Boundary during the year. Whenever we've asked for you to jump on, you've jumped on them. For that, we really appreciate it, and we wish you the best of luck come Saturday afternoon out at Leopold Memorial Park.
Yeah, likewise to you and Jason. I was a little bit embarrassed when I came in and did the first podcast. I only listened to a couple, but I've gone back and listened to them. They're brilliant, and the support that you both give our league, the Balrain, who you know, as I said, I'm a big advocate of how it's progressing and how good we are becoming as a competition. Thank you for your support and always willing to chat, that's for certain.
Good luck Saturday, Dom.
Thanks, boys.
So after that, who wins?
Oh, what happens if it was a draw?
They extra time? For time.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Now, look, I think Torquay just. I think they might have got woken up, as yeah. I've said to both Dom and Ben McNamara last week. I just reckon that they might. That was probably the sting in the tail they needed. If they had left it until grand final day, might it's you know Anglesey have pulled a different lever. But I think the Tigers just.
Anglesey.
Yeah, okay, right.
You love the history of this.
Yeah, and they haven't won a flag for 25
absolutely.
Years.
Absolutely.
Haven't played
the
in one for 24.
The town's going to go off.
Absolutely.
Forever.
Absolutely.
And yes, yeah, first grand final between the two in 40-odd years.
Yeah, right.
You know, the Anglesey against Torquay in grand finals, the form's with Anglesey, even though it was in 1983. What about some of those names that ran around?
Yeah. That was a great team.
Yeah.
That was a great team. Yeah.
And they came from a first semi in an old Final Four to win it.
Yeah, right, okay.
Yeah, they had to win two knockout finals and then play in a granny.
That's a premiership reunion you'd want to be, I reckon.
And then I found out some stuff during the week. So obviously we know Ollie Wine's dad, Ryan O'Keefe's dad, Patrick Dangerfield's dad all played in the team. Mm-hmm. I then find out that the Nichols family, who've been tied up at Grove, so Vicky Nichols.
Yes.
Vicky is Tony's Wine's sister.
Oh, right.
So she married Owen Nichols, who obviously I think, two-time premiership player at Anglesey. I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah, right.
So Vicky's commented on one of the K-Rock football things. She goes, oh, I'm Tony's sister. And I've said, your nephew goes really good at footy, just not this week. had Neville Stanway from Torquay reach out we pulled that little grand final record out from 83 and
names on both sides
too,
that's the thing you know, like it's those were the days.
Well, and there was you know there was a Grossman
typical Torquay,
and I think it was a Pettigrew
there
was a Dunstan
Torquay royalty
and of course Ben McNamara works for SK Dunstan.
Of course, that's right.
So Kevin Madden, the late Kevin Madden, was coach of that side. Mm. They won the flag the following year, but lost that one. So some great names. Best on ground medal?
James Dark, I reckon. I just have this feeling that because this might be it, I reckon. That might be the finish, I think.
Saunter off into the sunset.
I think so. It'd be a great way to finish.
I think it's Tom Couch's last game of footy.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it really?
Well, I think he hinted.
It's getting harder and harder. Yeah. Well, that'd be interesting.
James Carr, not only to get the premiership medal that Heath Jamieson denied him in 2019.
Hasn't that become a story too?
I might have rung Jamo to get a couple of words off him.
Surprise, surprise.
And Jamo just politely declined.
I did. Yeah. Come on, Jamo.
I think James Carr might off a wing.
Nice. That's good.
Get two medals.
Good.
That'd be a great story too.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely.
Good fella. Good fella. Good luck to the rest of the games this weekend, GDFNL preliminary final, as we touched on a little bit earlier, some players that found themselves match review panel suspicion have all been reprimanded.
Surprise, surprise. Good preliminary final week.
Good timing. Good so timing. Thompson and East Geelong, who gets out?
Oh, the roundabout, hey?
Who is cheering loudest? Kevin O'Leary or John Mitchell?
Well, it'll be interesting. I wonder, is it going to rain on Saturday?
Not much.
No. I think East will bounce back. I think they, again, like Torquay,
the bear has been
poked, and I suspect Ned and the team will have them primed for Thompson, who Lynchy coaching masterclasses at the moment from what I hear, but I think East just.
GFNL qualifying final, St Mary's and Leopold.
Tough. Very tough. I just think Leopold. Just with their experience.
Everybody's been asking me who I think's winning the flag. And they go, is it Joey's or Mary's? And I've been going, it's Leopold.
Yeah, I think they have to beat Leopold to win it. I think that's the thing. Yeah. So I think they'll be around abouts. And I think St Mary's, just with some injuries that have occurred, when are they back? How are they back? You know, match fit, all that sort of stuff, as Dom touched on before. So I think Leopold just.
And Sunday, South Barwon and Bell Park, does the result of a couple of weeks ago stack up? Or with a different looking Bell Park, Lucas, Sarcevic. We don't know whether they're going to VFL, but if Geelong are as healthy as Hawkins and Guthrie, they played 17 in the VFL last week.
Yeah,
they might play 17 or 18 again.
That's exactly right. I think there are 8 different players, I think I heard from a coach that I spoke to, who might be the South Barwon coach, from when they played them.
Yep.
So to last week. Yep.
So South.
No, Bell Park had eight different players.
Yep.
So if they can have that, there'll be a different result. Yep. They're not going to win like that. But I think the Swans are just in form that is going nicely at the moment.
Big weekend, CarrickFootball.live from 1 o'clock Saturday and Sunday. A couple of club presidents joining us. Little Jock McMahon's going to have a chat to us. Brett Campeely, for the first time, is going to jump on and have a chat.
Well done,
Tim
Piggy.
Sherman and Hamish Easton, Leopold footy boss, is going to have a chat to us as well. So 1 o'clock action with the team that's been there all year. Looking forward to bringing you the action on CarrickFootball.live. See you then.
Bye-bye.